love me. I don't deserve grace on top of grace. And you know, grace is never, ever, ever depleting. God's grace is eternal. The same as his love is eternal. His faithfulness is eternal. He's from eternity to eternity. His love is everlasting. And we've got to understand that about God. And even when Kerry talked about the Passover, how they reminded themselves year after year after year. I don't know if you've ever been to a Jewish Passover festival and the way they do it, but they lay it out exactly the same way as they used to during the centuries past. And then they go through the whole process of recalling and reminding themselves of everything from the time in Israel when they were in Egypt when they were in slavery. And they have a dish of bitter herbs there. And part of the eating the bitter herbs is to remind them of the bitterness of the time that the Israelites spent in slavery. And then the times when they were in Egypt and under the captivity and working and doing the things they were doing were all part and parcel of the ceremony until it came to the Passover lamb being slain in the homes, and then they were released, and then they went through the Red Sea, and there's all the different aspects of the Passover ceremony that reminds them of the things that they went through. That's not to remind us of anything we went through or we were or we suffered or were in bondage with or whatever. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, the whole world. There's nothing that we have to recall at the time we come around the table. There's nothing we have to remember. And if the devil tries to remind you of something you failed in or did wrong, every time the devil does that to me, I just say, let me remind you of your future. When you're cast out and you're taken and cast into the lake of fire and all your angels with you. Shuts him up real quick. Real quick. So kids, I want you to go and have a great time upstairs with Lek there. And the rest of us, we'll have an amazing time down here too. You know, I've talked a lot lately about, and Kerry brought it up, about our relationship with God, knowing God and all that sort of thing. And I really want you to understand, I'm not being repetitious for no reason. We really do need to understand and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus constantly. And it's a choice. It's a choice. I can't turn my radio on at home or in my car, and I want to listen to Light FM. But I've got it tuned into 104.3 or something, one of the other channel stations. And the trouble with life today is there are so many options that we have to be caught up with in our thinking and everything that's going on around us. And it's a choice of ours to draw back and to come back into where our focus is on God and His life in us. And we have to do it regularly. We have to really be persistent with it, giving all diligence. And the Bible talks about diligence in several aspects, but I'm just wanting us to have a diligence in our understanding of God like we would in any other thing that we do. If it's schoolwork, yes, if you the more diligent you are at your schoolwork, the higher the marks you get, the better your pass rate is, the greater your opportunities are for university courses and future job situations. When we're in a position like that, when we get a job, our application will always be noticed by people in management, and surely enough there's promotions and there's other aspects of that. That's diligence, that's discipline, that's perseverance, that's application, that's commitment. And if we're capable of doing that in our lives and in our natural scenes, we've got to be capable of doing that in God's life in us. We really do. And look, I'm not barraging you with too much, I hope. But I believe that God is at a point now with the end of the age drawing in on us. And I don't know how long it'll be before Christ returns when the clouds break open and the Son of Heaven is seen across this planet. Whoo! I mean, a lot of people are expecting it to happen almost instantly. I look at the scriptures and I think there's still a little bit to happen, and I still see the church being a far greater power and presence on the planet than what it is today. And I see more and more reports of revival and amazing outpouring of God's Spirit in so many nations coming in across the globe and throughout nations I never expected. Even America now is experiencing amazing turnaround. Japan, Malaysia, and some of the Middle Eastern countries and others are all turning to God in droves by the millions, not the thousands, by the millions. And I'm saying, Lord, this great Southland of the Holy Spirit needs your outpouring more than ever. And my heart is for Australia to receive the same intensity of God's power. And it's got to start with the church. We've got to be hungry for God. We've got to be thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says, they'll be filled. Let's develop a hunger for that. And I had a few notes there, but I don't think I'm going to follow those, Mash. So I'll just have a quick look and see where I'm at. But as far as what we want to do today, I hope I'm on target here. I am. You know, a lot of people come to God with a mentality of the benefits of the kingdom of God for them. And that's possibly the church's fault or some zealous preachers, you know. Come out here, give your life to Jesus. He'll fill you, he'll give you a purpose. He'll do this for you, do that for you, do the other for you. That's not even a biblical basis for coming to God. The basis for coming to God is, Lord, I recognize without you I'm nothing. Without you, I'm lost. Without you, I have no future. And this life is going to dictate its terms to me, and I don't want that anymore. I surrender to you. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ, and I believe, died for my sin at Calvary. I confess that he's my Lord and Master, and I surrender to him now. And I ask for forgiveness for all I've done and pray your guidance for the rest of my life. And I will live for you. That's the commitment people need to make. It's a simple commitment to God for what he's done and what he expects of us. And living that life is a life that really needs to be regenerated at some time. I don't know how many times I've said, God, I'm not as committed as I should be. And I think sometimes, I don't know why he perseveres with me. But, you know, I'll get carried off with thoughts in other ways and business things and whatever have you. Like this week, I spent 4 days down at Lara training people in plastic and vinyl and other repair situations and colouring, and it was intense. And I got home Friday night and I was exhausted, and I thought, you know, God, I've just got to chill out. I've got to relax. I've got to sleep. And then I'm starting to just sort of doze around a little bit, and I'm thinking, what time have I spent with God this week? I think the Spirit of God was trying to challenge me a little bit, getting too busy in life, and it's so easy to do that it's difficult to discipline yourself to come back. So we've got to be diligent in that sort of aspect of our life to do that. And so getting our lives surrendered to him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lordship means total authority. He has total authority. Not just over the planets and over everything else, because Jesus Christ has been made King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of his work at the cross. He certainly earned his position that the Father bestowed on him. But being Lord of my life doesn't mean that he's Lord. We sing, he is Lord, he is Lord. Yeah, but we've got to personalize that. My life needs his lordship in it constantly. And I've got to remind myself of him being Lord. And it says, if we confess with our mouth what I say, Lord, you are. all in all to me. You are my Lord. You are my Redeemer, my King, my God. And I worship him in that sense with my expressions of knowing him for who he is. And then it says, if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that's the first beginning point of salvation. There's a definite attitude there, but we can't constantly remind ourselves through a meal like the shadow meal that the Passover represents, but we can come to around this table and make this table a table of gratitude for what Christ did for us. Believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, is the key pivotal point of salvation. It really is. Outside of all of that, knowing God is important. We've sung some beautiful songs there about our Lord Jesus and who he is and everything that he's done. And truly, he's amazing. Well, here we go. I've got it together now. Truly, he's the most amazing God. He has done so much for us. But just want to bring out a couple of points that I think I brought up last week. Maybe we can go to the notes. Anthony, thanks. And knowing Jesus intimately is important. Oh, that, I thought I fixed that cord. I'm going to have another look at it. But God's shown us his heart. It's clear. If we look at the scriptures, if we look at all that God has done, even John 3:16, apparently some clown in the English Parliament, when a guy quoted that verse recently, said, those words are offensive. They're an act of violence and battle. What? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God showed us his heart in the way he wants to draw us to himself. But the response is not with God, it's with us. Unfortunately, humans across this planet look for visible proof all the time. They're looking for evidence. And unfortunately, they're not getting it. In fact, there's been quite a stir up over the last few weeks about the whole aspect of evolution, of Charles Darwin's theory, and how they're shooting it to pieces now and finding evidence that has completely made them stop and think. And a lot of them are running scared because their whole theory is all falling apart. But faith looks for fulfillment through believing God, accepting all that God says he is and all that he's done. We need to know him intimately. And that inbuilt, God-given ability and desire to know God was given there by him to know and be aware of his existence. And we can't have any excuses as to why that hasn't happened. I can't help but go outside when it's a clear night or when things are happening in the sky. I miss the aurora lights. Anyone see them this week? I was told they were absolutely amazing, just such a great spectacle, and I forgot all about it that night. I don't know where I was. But from that, it says in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, are clearly seen, being clearly understood from his workmanship, so that men are without excuse. There's nothing on this planet that doesn't point to God being who he is. Men can have no excuse for not finding God. The heavens shall declare the glory of his name, the psalmist said. All creation bows at the coming of the king. So we really need to know him. And if we do, or do we know him and does he really know us? Is there a rapport going on there? I know Jesus came to reveal the Father to us, and it's quite interesting. Everybody that talks about Jesus doesn't seem to have a concept or an understanding of the Father too much. A lot of Christians don't even believe in the empowering of the Holy Spirit, which is quite sad, because the three are so important. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our keeper, our friend, our guide, our helper, our teacher. And Jesus said he's the Spirit of truth. You want to know the truth of God's word? You can't see it without the Holy Spirit. You can't comprehend it without the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. And he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He said he will speak of me, and he will take of mine and reveal it to you. Wow. Wow. You want to understand who Jesus is, then you've got to understand through the Holy Spirit. You've got to have that empowerment and that insight coming from that empowerment. Not only that, it talks about Jesus. When he prayed in John 17, he said this: Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and then anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See, God, Jesus has a purpose to reveal the Father. He did that on the planet, and he has a never changed. He's the Lord God who changes not. He says, come to me, all you are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I'm gentle in heart. He's not going to be tough on us, hard on us. He's not going to keep us busy so much that we can't rest. The rest is a total fulfilling of the shadow in the 7 days of creation. On the seventh day, God rested from all of his work. And the Bible tells us later on there remains a rest for the people of God, and our rest is in Christ Jesus. The other 6 days, I can tell you, are all to do with salvation. The seventh day is a day of rest, and that is our rest in Christ. I don't have to have one day to just rest. My rest is in him constantly. It was interesting, I was out there this morning. I had to go to Ivanhoe this morning and do a job, believe it or not, because I couldn't get there this week. Guy's rainwater tank was leaking. And I said, look, it's not going to look pretty because I have to cut a hole in the side of it. But I said, at least it won't leak. He said, well, that's all I care about. He says, I'm not going to worry about a scar on the external side of my tank. I said, you actually don't look like a guy that worries at all anyway, do you? He said, I cover it well. And I said, well, you can do more than cover it. You know, I live with no worry. Because I think worry is a waste of time. Worry is a lack of faith and trust. And I was sort of baiting him to see whether he was going to talk a bit more and go on, because I was ready to give him a bit more of Jesus. And I said, well, I found my rest and trust in God. And he said, yeah, a lot of people do that. And off he went and did his gardening. I thought, But you've got to try. You've got to give God every opportunity to have an open door. People can respond or not respond. If he comes to God one day and says, and God says, you had a chance. Ken was talking to you that day. Plus, all of the glory of the stars of heaven reveal me. All of creation tells the story of me and who I am. Don't ignore me. And people today, I remember we had a barbecue several years back over at our place. Beautiful, clear, warm night. And it was when Sue and the Wilson family lived there. I remember getting my guitar out, singing a song, "In the stars his handiwork I see. On the wind he speaks with majesty, though he rules over land and sea, what is that to me? Till by grace I met him face to face, now I see the wonders of his grace." Wow. I'm sitting there looking at the stars, just lost in singing to the Lord and worshiping him. And Sue got saved not long after that. Her husband rejected God, but she was so taken, she ended up giving her life to Christ. You know, you just never know. that song, Grace on Top of Grace, it shows the picture, what the picture was shown, sorry, back in the tabernacle when they layered over and moved the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim. Now, that was never ever to be seen in public. It was never ever to be seen. But it was a work of grace. And do you know there were five covers they put over that when they moved it? And the numerical or the biblical numerics for grace is number five. God never built anything. There's hooks, there's loops, there's colours, even the embroidery on all of the curtains and the veils in the tabernacle pointed to Christ. Everything, his humanity, his deity, his death, his burial, his resurrection were all pictured in shadow form back in that amazing tabernacle that they built in the wilderness. And don't ask me how they beat gold and did all that stuff back then out in the middle of nowhere. If you've seen pictures of that wilderness, it's not a good workshop. But they managed to get it done. When Jesus said he was going away, Lord, said Thomas, we don't know where you're going, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, because no one can come to the Father except through me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father as well. And from now on, you do not know him and have not seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient for us. That'll convince us. Notice the humanity coming back into this. I want evidence. I want proof. I want to see. I want to have some form of image that I can relate to. We're back on. Thank you, Lord. But you know, people are looking for evidence that God's there. They want proof. They want physical, tangible evidence. Faith does not operate on physical evidence. Philip, you clown, he said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll make us happy. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you do not know me? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you ask me and say, show us the Father? And so Jesus came to reveal the Father to us in a way that we could have a relationship with our Father. Relationships with the Father are always important. And he says, do you not believe that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me? You know, Jesus came as a representative of the Father, representing the Father to humanity. And then did what he did because of that. We are carriers of not only the Holy Spirit, but we're representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the example set by Jesus to the world, representing the Father. We're to represent. Jesus said, I'm going, now you go. And I'm with you always. We're carrying and representing Jesus to the world. But no, so I won't say any more than that. But Jesus, Colossians said this with Paul, he says, don't let anyone entangle you or captivate you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. This is what men want to do. For in Christ lives and dwells the fullness of God in a human body. The fullness of God. Understand that? Jesus came in the fullness of God and his human body represented the whole Godhead. And so also are you complete through your union with Christ, who's the head over all ruler and authority. We've been made in his image to be like him and to understand that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. You know, I want to exalt the Father this morning. We got this other mic on. I'm going to put up a couple of songs just so that we can follow through. If you've got that list there, Anthony, and what I'm trying to do is get you to understand the switch off, the switch in, the turning off from, and the turning to. And this will be recorded. You can play it back again and again and again. Got that on there? No, it's not on. It'd help if I turn it on, won't it? Where's the button? There it is. Am I on now? Got it. Sorry, mate. I don't know if you know these old songs, but we're going to just focus in on God. Can we all stand? You can raise your hands. You can just sing, hum, do what you want to do. But let's just focus in on who God is and who our Father is. And this is the times when I have my most reflective, emotional and intimate times with God, just sitting there singing to Him, thinking of Him, shutting my mind off from everything else and saying, God, I just want to spend time with You. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. I give You praise, for You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. Oh, I worship You. I give You praise, for You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. Father God, my hands I humbly raise to Thee, for Thy mighty power and love amazes me as I stand. Sing that again. To exalt God isn't just to make a noise about him and cry out his name and praise him just with your lips. To exalt him is to expand your understanding of him in his mind, to expand your comprehension, to get rid of your natural thinking and concept, and to say, God, your word needs to be enveloping my mind to see God for who you are. To exalt you beyond my human capacities, to lift you high, to lift you above my natural thinking. Like Paul said in the New Testament, he said, I pray for you constantly that the love of God would be known, its length, its breadth, its depth, and its height, and surpassing all natural knowledge, so that you can then be filled with the fullness of God. He was crying out for us to know him beyond our own capacities in a way that is spiritual revelation. Holy Spirit, we're asking you today to expand our thinking, expand our understanding, expand our insight, and expand our knowledge of God. You're the one who's there to teach us and reveal Christ to us, to reveal all that Jesus has and make it known to us. We need that today, Lord. We need it more than ever because this world's crowding us out. This world's just screaming at us from every angle, trying to get our attention and trying to make this world look bigger than you are. But Lord, this world's nothing compared to you. And as we sing, we exalt you again. Holy Spirit, give us an understanding, an insight, and a capacity that we might know the love of God, its length, its breadth, and its depth, and its height, surpassing any capacity of our natural knowledge. We don't want to be restricted, Lord, but we want to be filled with your fullness in every way, Lord God. Father God. Now go back. For thou, O Lord, art high. Far above all.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord, one more time, and I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Boy, oh boy, come on, Holy Spirit. Help us to exalt Jesus in our minds and in our hearts and in all we do. And in all we do. In Jesus' name.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to fill your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just tried to introduce
just the capacity. I don't know about you, but I can't sing songs like that without my mind just, whew, God, you're incredible. Now, you might use other songs that mean something to you. You might use songs that are, you know, spoken to you. And I find that over my life, God has spoken to me in so many different ways. There are scriptures that just keep resounding within my heart that are embedded there in such a way that are so strong that draw me to God when I need it. There are songs that God brings back and the Holy Spirit brings back into my memory. And quite often, I'll be going through things or thinking things or trying to work things out, and a song will be just, I'm thinking, how long have I been singing that for? How long's that been going on in my mind? And it's just been in the background of my head. And the Holy Spirit's trying to say, start to worship, start to worship. But we really do need to get to know Him and to know the Father intimately. And some of those songs there, Father God. I never ever gave God the Father a thought in my life. It was all Jesus. That's all we were taught in church. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And everything went on Jesus. And then one day the Father revealed Himself to me through the Holy Spirit. And songs like Father God, I give all thanks and praise to Thee became a part of my life's expression to God and taught me to honor the Father and have a relationship with my dad. He's my dad, my spiritual dad. And I never knew him once. I never had a clue who he was. I just knew there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I thought a Father was hidden away up somewhere. And the only person we could talk to was Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And oh boy, was I ever wrong. Because Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, when he said this, he said, you come when you pray. And what did he say in the introduction? It's all to the Father. It's all to the Father. Father, we thank you so much for the capacity we've got in getting to know you. And I'm asking, Lord, that by your Spirit, every one of us will be able to exalt you more and more and more and have greater insight, understanding and comprehension and enlightenment by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, minds and lives. We're sorry if we've ignored you. We know you're there with a purpose. And we repent of that inability to focus on you. But we determine from now on to make a conscious decision to allow you to speak to us and to reveal to us Jesus and the Father so that we can be fully complete in you. We thank you for it. Amen.